Uncredited. Mr. Osborne. IQ 132. If I didn't know better, I'd swear that Donovan Curtis wasn't gifted at all. I'd bet a month's pay that an eighth-grade boy had been chosen at absolute random and dropped into the top academy for differentiated instruction in the state. But I did know better. Our selection process was ironclad. Students had to pass a battery of tests from the State Department of Education, not to mention faculty interviews and even a psychological exam. A mosquito couldn't make it through the screening process. Our last faculty meeting was essentially a seminar on Donovan Curtis. It turned out to be quite a revelation. All his teachers had realized that he was weak in their courses and had assumed that his gifts lay elsewhere. But after comparing notes, it became clear that his gifts lay nowhere. He was mediocre in English, social studies, French, and computer science, and well below average in math and science. I didn't expect him to excel at everything, but Donovan excelled at nothing. Which begged the question, what was he doing at the academy? "Have you tried getting him involved with the robotics team?" asked our principal, Brian Del Rio. I nodded. "He's our designated Googler."
"Your what?"
"He has no knowledge of programming, engineering, hydraulics, pneumatics, or even basic mechanics. So he surfs the internet looking for pictures to download and paste on Tin Man. Like Albert Einstein eating a banana." Brian frowned.
"What's Tin Man?"
"The robot. It's short for Tin Man Metallica Squarepants." Donovan's idea.
"You don't think he's putting us on, do you?"
suggested Ellie Shapiro, the department head for social studies. "Some of these bright kids have a warped sense of humor."
"I doubt it," I told her. "To be honest, the other kids love what he does with the graphics, and nobody's ever thought of naming the robot before. I admit I wasn't too crazy about the idea. At first I only went along with it to empower Donovan. But you know what? I'm glad we did it."
"It's very cute," Ellie agreed.
"It's more than cute," I amended. "It's humanized our entire program. The difference between dealing with an it and a him is a transformative concept."
"Maybe that's our answer," Brian mused. "Dozens of brilliant kids pass through your class, building machines that win prizes at the highest levels. Yet the simplest thing, naming a piece of equipment or decorating it, gets by everybody except Donovan."
Maria Bevilacqua, math, spoke up.
"Or he does it because he can't do anything else. He doodles through my class. He hasn't taken a single note."
I jumped on this. "A photographic memory?"
"He's lucky he can remember his own name,"
she deadpanned.
"I asked him what school he came from, and you know what he said? I forget. If that's a photographic memory..." He left the lens cap on.
"Perhaps it's a kind of social intelligence," Brian ventured, really reaching.
"Oh, please," Maria snorted. "He may seem like a smooth operator compared to our usual clientele, but there's nothing special about him in that way, either."
"I have to agree," I said wearily. "He alienated Abigail on day one, and he causes a lot of friction in the lab. Latrell feels threatened by him, and JC doesn't know what to make of him."
"JC doesn't know quite what to make of anyone," Ellie cut in.
"Chloe comes the closest to understanding him, but they butt heads too," I went on. "And as for Noah..."
"Noah's so smart that most of us can't even begin to imagine what's going on in his head," Maria put in.
I sighed. "Maybe, but the reverse is also true. Noah can't understand not understanding. And there's Donovan, who understands nothing. To Noah, he's like some exotic space alien who crash-landed in the gifted program."
"Maybe Noah isn't wrong about that," Maria challenged.
Brian's brow furrowed.
"What are you saying?"
What if, Maria went on, our much-vaunted selection system broke down and sent us your average knuckle-dragger?
Impossible. Our principal was adamant. All our kids have strengths and weaknesses. We seem to have a good sense of Donovan's weaknesses. It's a start. Now we have to find his strengths. He wouldn't be here if they didn't exist.
As the meeting broke up, he pulled me aside.
There's one more thing. He hesitated. You're not going to like it.
I sighed. Let me guess. Donovan again?
This time it isn't Donovan. As you may know, all students graduating from middle school are required to complete one quarter of human growth and development.
Human growth and development? I echoed. You mean sex education?
He made a face. We haven't called it that in decades.
But what does that have to do with me? I asked. They teach that in seventh grade, don't they?
Usually. The principal took a deep breath.
Your kids don't have it.
I was horrified.
None of them?
None of the big names. Euclid, Halloran, Garfinkel, Lee. A few transfers took the equivalent at their old schools. And Donovan's okay. He got the instruction at Hardcastle.
How could we miss that?
Brian shrugged unhappily. Robotics has always attracted our best and brightest. Anything new and innovative and exciting is thrown at your group. They're always busy, and the last thing anyone thought they needed was to spend hours drawing diagrams of the human body and watching videos on how babies are made.
So what happens now? I asked wearily. I have to drop what I'm doing and spend the rest of the year on sex ed?
He shook his head. You need a state certification to teach human growth and development. You're not qualified.
So who is?
Nobody, Brian told me. Beth Vogel has been coming over from Salem to work with our seventh grade, but she's teaching a full schedule this quarter. The whole district is running on austerity. Staffing is cut to the bone. Believe me, Oz, I've been over this every which way with Dr. Schultz. If there were a way out, we would have found it. The state allows us absolutely zero flexibility. 40 hours under a credentialed teacher with triple time credited for real hands-on experience.
They're kids, Brian. Where are they going to get hands-on experience of that?
Would we even want them to? We're still working on a few possibilities, he admitted. They could take the course after school, or over the summer.
Think of the students you're talking about, I pleaded. They take music lessons, learn languages, intern at research labs, work with private tutors. They're scheduled down to the nanosecond. You're going to make them give up all that for sex ed?
Human growth and development, he amended.
We ought to be ashamed of ourselves.
He nodded grimly. We are.
I was heartsick. What am I going to tell the kids?
Don't tell them anything yet. Not till we've explored every option.
Privately, I was hoping that one of my colleagues might bail me out on the mission impossible of Donovan and his hidden talents. Every time another teacher approached me, I expected the eureka moment. I've got it. He's brilliant. I didn't care what came next. Writer, physicist, harpsichord player, linguist, chess master, infrared astronomer. He has total recall, perfect pitch, a knack for languages, great potential for spelunking. Anything. It was a cop-out. The answer wasn't going to drop from the sky and land at my feet. I'd watched him in my own classroom. Why would he be different anywhere else? Actually, he did less for me than he did for the other teachers. At least in his core subjects, he tried and failed. In robotics, all he did was search the internet for graphics to stick on Tin Man. Seriously, to justify the time he spent on Google Images, we would have needed a robot the size of a 20-story building. A convulsive, high-pitched cackling filled the lab. When I went to investigate,
I found Donovan at the keyboard and Noah peering over his shoulder, holding on to it, in fact, hysterical with laughter. Noah never laughed. He had a stratospheric IQ with few common sense skills and zero sense of humor. His thinking was lightning fast and flawlessly accurate, but also 100% literal. I barely recognized him, convulsed with mirth, breathing hard, his face bright pink.
"What is it?"
"Look." He pointed at the screen, bereft of speech. On the screen, a brief video clip showed a barefoot man walking along the edge of a pool. He stubbed his toe on a rubber dog bone and tumbled, arms flailing, into the water. Noah pounded on the desk, choking. Chloe appeared at my elbow. "It's called YouTube, Noah."
"It's the latest thing," Donovan added. 10 years ago."
"That's YouTube?"
Noah was incredulous.
"I've heard of it, obviously, but I never..." "Who's the actor? He's brilliant. I really believe that he fell in the pool by accident."
I sighed. Of course a kid like Noah had never explored YouTube before. When he got on a computer, most of us couldn't imagine what he was capable of. What he wasn't capable of were the ordinary things.
"He's not an actor," I explained patiently. "He's a regular person. Anyone can post a home video on YouTube."
He was wide-eyed.
"Anyone?"
"And anyone can watch it," Donovan confirmed. Noah may have started the day a YouTube novice, but by the end of the period, he could have written a doctoral dissertation on it. Such was the power of his intellect. He took Donovan's seat at the computer and disappeared into the site, reappearing only occasionally to explain the math behind his estimate of the total number of videos, over 800 million, or the amount of time it would take to watch them all, more than 600 years. "Assuming an average duration of 20 to 25 seconds each," he concluded. "I'll be more precise when I've had a few weeks to study it."
"Way to go," Abigail told Donovan savagely. "Noah should be curing diseases and changing the world, not watching some dimwit falling in his pool."
"Give the guy a break from his brain," Donovan argued. "When's the last time anybody saw him so psyched about something?"
I had to give Donovan that. For all Noah's incredible abilities, the boy would fail out of school if his teachers were to let him. Donovan alone had managed to engage him. Could that be a kind of giftedness in and of itself? Regardless, Donovan had succeeded in running through yet another class without yielding the slightest hint as to why he was at the academy. Of all the kids in my homeroom, Chloe was the one most taken with Donovan. It was a crush. Not so much on Donovan himself as what he represented. Normal middle school life. She peppered him with questions about parties and school spirit and big games and pep rallies. "I wasn't really into that stuff," Donovan told her. He was reluctant to talk about his experiences at Hardcastle Middle. Something must have gone on there that I couldn't quite put my finger on. He seemed anxious to put the past behind him. Anxious enough to ignore the obvious signs that he wasn't fitting in here. Had he been bullied? A lot of our students had suffered that at their old schools, but Donovan didn't seem like the type. Chloe would not be put off.
"Well, there must have been parties," she reasoned. "You know, dances, that kind of thing."
"I think it's a pathetic waste of time," Abigail chimed in. "Can you imagine having nothing better to do than bounce around a school gym to bad music under cheap streamers and a cheesy rented disco ball? Don't we all have better things to do?"
"No argument from me," said Donovan. Nothing pleased Abigail less than being agreed with by Donovan.
"Hey, you guys, do something funny." Noah waved at us from behind a flip video camera. "This is for YouTube." The kids ignored him. But I felt it was important to support Noah's new interest.
For all his brilliance, Noah spent his life in a kind of cocoon. Pointing a flip cam at people was as close as he got to social interaction. "What about Tin Man?" I suggested. "He looks like a YouTube star to me." Abigail was horrified. "That's a terrible idea. We'd be showing the other teams exactly what we're working on for the robotics meet." I chuckled. "It's supposed to be a friendly competition, Abigail, not a life-and-death struggle." "Never try to tell Abigail to take it easy. The results of that meet go on your permanent record," she insisted. "There could be college admissions on the line, maybe even scholarships. If that's not a life-and-death struggle, I don't know what is. This could be the year we finally defeat Cold Spring Harbor and win it all. Do you want to risk that?" Eventually, we shouted her down. If Cold Spring Harbor found our little clip among 600 years of video on YouTube, they deserved to beat us again. And anyway, some of the kids were already rolling Tin Man Metallica SquarePants out into the middle of the room. I had to admit, our latest creation was taking shape. No credit to me. Everything had come from the kids. Abigail and Chloe provided the design, and Noah did all the programming. The boy had never watched YouTube, but he could think in computer code. Kevin was our welding and soldering expert. JC and Latrell built the body. And there, large as life on Tin Man's chest, was Albert Einstein eating a banana, courtesy of Donovan. There were other graphics, too. A cat with a mohawk, the fiery eye of Sauron from the Lord of the Rings movies, the flag of Mozambique, and a bumper sticker that read, "Office of New York City Rat Catcher." Noah brandished the flip cam, and Abigail worked the joystick, sending our work in progress on its first trial run. The robot was capable of moving on its own, following a route marked by colored lines on the floor. But the most important rounds of the competition required a human driver. I watched carefully, taking special note of the wheels, which were a new type for us. Last year, Cold Spring Harbor had used Mechanum wheels, which gave them extra maneuverability. But on Tin Man, I couldn't see much difference. "Hold it." I got down on all fours and examined the bearings to make sure the Mechanums had a full range of motion. "The problem's not the wheels," put in Donovan. "It's the driver." Abigail glared at him. "What do you know about robotics?" "Nothing," he replied honestly. "But I can use a joystick. Don't you guys play video games?" "I'd like to see you do better." And with a casual shrug, he held out his hands for the controller. Eyes shooting sparks, Abigail relinquished it, and Donovan put Tin Man through his paces. I watched in amazement. The robot fairly danced around the lab, the lift mechanism moving easily. The Mechanums worked like magic, changing direction instantly with a flick of Donovan's wrist. The kids broke into cheers. They mobbed Donovan, begging him to be our operator at the meet. All except Abigail. She stood rooted to the floor, fuming. "Got it." Noah lowered the camera and ran for the computer to upload his very first YouTube video. And me? Well, I was thrilled for the team and tantalized at the prospect of finally giving Cold Spring Harbor a run for their money. But I also realized that my chief problem was no closer to a solution. Being good with a joystick because of hundreds of hours playing video games was not the kind of talent that got a student into the academy for academic distinction. What was Donovan Curtis doing in the gifted program?